grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine. I pray for all of you that this day becomes a unique day, a day of blessings, inshaAllah Azawajal, and we can take the reward from today, inshaAllah Azawajal. Today, we have a different topic, and hopefully we can learn something from it today. But before we begin this topic, as you know, that whenever you watch Arise and Shine, then we always give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Quran. With regard to the blessings of reciting a Durood-e Paak, is narrated that Sayyidina Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, stated in Tafsir Kabir that on the Day of Judgment, when virtues of a Muslim will become lighter on the scale, the most renowned and Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala will take out a piece of paper and he will place it on the side of virtues which will cause it to become heavy. The person will ask, may my parents be sacrificed to you, how handsome you are and how graceful is your behavior. Kindly tell me who you are. And the beloved and Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I am your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this piece of paper that has made your deeds heavier, that has made it heavier on this side of your deeds, is the Durood-e Paak that you sent on me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madani Channel, every day we give you a blessing reciting Durood-e Paak. And again, the reason for this is so that you become habitual in reciting Durood-e Paak. And viewers of Madani Channel, just think about it for 1 second, that maybe, just maybe, that one extra Durood-e Paak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. And on that day when we will not have the opportunity to do any good deeds, we will wish that whilst we were here that we recited Durood-e Paak more. If only we can heed from this and we can take heed from this, and that before that time comes where we are led to our dark and lonely grave, we recite Durood-e Paak as much as possible. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and now we're going to go, inshallah, Azawajal, and have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's listen to the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
ما يود الذين كفروا من اهل الكتاب ولا المشركين ان ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم والله يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم
وہ جو کافر ہیں کتابی یا مشرک وہ نہیں چاہتے کہ تم پر کوئی بھلائی اترے تمہارے رب کے پاس سے اور اللہ اپنی رحمت سے خاص کرتا ہے جسے چاہے اور اللہ بڑے فضل والا ہے
ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير
جب کوئی آیت ہم منسوخ فرمائیں یا بھلا دیں تو اس سے بہتر یا اس جیسی لے آئیں گے کیا تجھے خبر نہیں کہ اللہ سب کچھ کر سکتا ہے
أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ
کیا تجھے خبر نہیں کہ اللہ ہی کے لیے ہے آسمانوں اور زمین کی بادشاہی، اور اللہ کے سوا تمہارا نہ کوئی حمایتی نہ مددگار۔
أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِن قَبْلُ وَمَن يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ۔
کیا یہ چاہتے ہو کہ اپنے رسول سے ویسا سوال کرو جو پہلے موسیٰ سے ہوا تھا، اور جو ایمان کے بدلے کفر لے وہ ٹھیک راستہ سے بہک گیا۔
وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّن بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِندِ أَنفُسِهِم مِّن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقُّ فَاعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يأتي الله بأمره إن الله على كل شيء قدير۔
بہت کتابیوں نے چاہا کاش تمہیں ایمان کے بعد کفر کی طرف پھیر دیں اپنے دلوں کی جلن سے، بعد اس کے کہ حق ان پر خوب ظاہر ہو چکا ہے، تو تم چھوڑو اور درگزر کرو یہاں تک کہ اللہ اپنا حکم لائے، بے شک اللہ ہر چیز پر قادر ہے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we just had the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. What a brilliant way to start the day, by listening to a blessing of Durood-e Pak and listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that every household, every Muslim household around the world has this blessing, that in the households every single day the Quran Pak is recited to and listened to. And also we need views of Mother Channel that we make sure that we understand the Quran as well. And what better way to understand the Quran by to get a translation, inshallah azza wa jal, and read it, and inshallah you'll understand it. And on our website, the www.dawatislami.net, inshallah azza wa jal, you can get the download, the translation of Kanzul Iman, both in the Urdu and in the English format, and you can actually buy the Urdu format in the book form as well. So please make sure you have these in your households, you read them on a daily basis, and you benefit from them as well. Rise and Shine, what are we going to talk about today? Well, today, you know, on Madani Channel, whenever we have a program, we talk about how we can rectify ourselves. We can talk about certain illnesses that we have, the spiritual illnesses, the bad habits that we have, lying, swearing, backbiting, and all of these other habits that we talk about on a daily basis. And we talk about them with the aim of trying to rectify them. So what we try to do here on Madani Channel is, we try to talk about those ills of the society, and we try to come up with some solutions of how we can remove them from them. And at the same time, what we do is we try to make ourselves aware, because in a lot of cases, we're not even aware that these problems exist. But just imagine, viewers of Madani Channel, if this did not happen, not only on Madani Channel, wherever, people stopped, people abandoned calling people to the path of righteousness. People abandoned giving neki ki dawat. People stopped calling people and tried to rectify their sins. These ulama-i-kiram, these mulvis, these imams, that we don't give them respect. Let's be honest, in society we don't give them respect. But if they stop doing their job, these mubaliks that call you to the masjid, if they stop doing their job, if everybody stopped doing their job, what kind of society would we be living in? So today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the harms, viewers of Mother Channel, the harms of not calling people to the path of righteousness, and the problems that that can result in, and also the sins that we will gather amongst ourselves if we do this. So viewers of Mother Channel, inshallah, we're going to talk about this today. Before we begin this topic properly, then you know that we, alhamdulillah, every day we listen to a daily kalam. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Meetha Madina door hai, jana bhi zaroor hai. Taiba badi door, aqa, taiba badi door. تو سب کا سلطان ہے رحمت عالم تیرا لقب ہے تیری اونچی شان ہے سارا عالم تیرا بھکاری تو سب کا سلطان ہے مجھ سے غم کے ماروں کا تو بس تجھ پر ہی مان ہے پاس بلا لو اب تو آقا پاس بلا لو اب تو آقا کا پاس بلا لو اب تو آقا مدت سے مان ہے طیبہ بڑی دور آقا طیبہ بڑی دور اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله وسلم سچی بات سکھاتے یہ سیدھی راہ دکھاتے یہ جلتی جان بجھاتے جاتے یہ ہے روتی آنکھ ہساتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم قصر دنا تک کس کی رسائی قصر دنا تک کس کی رسائی قصر دنا تک کس کی رسائی جاتے یہ ہے آتے یہ ہے جاتے صدقے جسے جیتے ہم ہیں جلاتے یہ ہے اس کی بخشش ان کا صدقہ دیتا وہ ہے دلاتے یہ ہے دیتا وہ ہے جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو فیض جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو باغ آگ میں باغ کھلاتے یہ ہے آگ میں باغ کھلاتے یہ ہے کہلاتے یہ ہے رب ہے معطی رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رزق اس کا ہے دلاتے یہ ہے رزق اس کا ہے دلاتے کثرت پاتے یہ ہے اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے کون بنائے بناتے یہ ہے اپنے بھرم سے ہم ہر کو کا اپنے دھرم سے ہم کو کا اپنے دھرم سے ہم ہر کو کا پلا بھاری بناتے یہ ہے لاکھ بنا کون بچائے بچاتے یہ ہے کون بچائے بچاتے یہ ہے نزعِ روح میں آسانی دے کلمہ یاد دلاتے یہ ہے مرقد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر میٹھی نیند سلاتے یہ ہے سلسلم سلسلم کی دھار سے پل سے پار چلاتے یہ ہے کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہے کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہے مشدار رضا کا سناتے یہ ہے مشدار رضا کا سناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And before the beginning of the program, we asked the Naat Wanda to either recite us a Naat that woke us up or made our eyes shed tears. And I think this one was a very relaxing Naat. But if we understood it, we understood that he was talking about the attributes of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our guide, he's our master. And he is the one that has the key to every lock in our life. And even if only we understand this, that if we follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then whatever problems we face, whatever locks are put in front of us, if we go back to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we go back to the Quran, then inshallah azawajal will find the key to them problems. And unfortunately, what do we do nowadays whenever we face the problems? Do we go back to the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or do we phone a friend? Do we go on the internet and try and solve our problems? And that is maybe why a lot of the times we are not able to solve our problems. It's because we don't go back to the source of all knowledge, the Quran and the source, the master of all guidance, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And for a few moments, I want you to imagine yourself leaving home in the morning. You're going to get some groceries. And as you leave home, as you walk down the street, you see adultery happening openly in front of you on the corner of the street. Further on, as you get to the next street corner, you see children there dealing in drugs, selling drugs to each other. And one of them argues with the other, and he pulls out a knife and he stabs him in the stomach, and you carry on walking past. And you carry on walking past because it's the norm. Yeah, you've seen it so many times. Then you see someone being robbed. Then you see someone being mugged. Then you see someone whose mobile phone is stolen at gunpoint. You see someone that stops someone in the middle of the road, and as they stop in the road, they go open the door of the car, they pull the person out and they steal the car away from them. You go to the shop, and as you go into the shop, you see people that are fighting and arguing and swearing at each other, pushing each other, shoving each other. You see all sorts of obscenity on the way, on the billboards, on the signposts, everywhere you go. Let's say you buy 2 kilos of onions, yeah, and when you walk at the shop, you look at it and think, well, there's only 1 kilo here. He's cheated me. And all of these things are happening, everything that you can happen, a complete breakdown of society. That within that society, there's no rules, no regulations, no anything whatsoever. And everything is happening. And you know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you have no shame, then do whatever you want. So the society now has become like this. Let's imagine that. Imagine what a society that would be like to live in. How horrible that society would be. How hard it would be for a God-fearing person to live in that society. In fact, it would probably be impossible. And what would happen is like anything else, you would get sucked into it. The sins of the society, because they're everywhere. And there's not a single corner that you can go to get respite. There's not a single corner that you can go that you can feel that I'm comfortable here. Nowhere you can go. And as a result of that, you'd get sucked in. You'd get sucked into them sins. And the whole society would break down. There would be anarchy. Now, some of them examples that I just give you, viewers of the channel. Some of them things are already happening. They are already happening. All the things that I mentioned today, some of them, in fact, most of them, unfortunately, are all happening. They're not happening all the time. They're not happening on a daily basis. They're not happening to the extremities of this. So maybe the example was extreme, but the examples that I gave you are happening. Imagine living in a society like that. And then the question is, how does a society become like that? I tell you how a society becomes like that. A society becomes like that when people stop forbidding evil acts, when people stop calling people to the path of righteousness. When this happens in any society, the whole society will break down. And this not calling people towards righteousness, not forbidding sins being committed, is like a disease. And this spreads. Like I said, it spreads, and what happens is people get sucked into it. And as they get sucked into it, more and more people get affected by this disease. And so a society that doesn't call people towards righteousness, a society that doesn't stop people committing sins, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we don't live in that society. But if we are honest with ourselves, in a lot of cases, we are living in that society. We are living in that society where nobody, unfortunately, is calling people towards the path of righteousness. Nobody is forbidding sins. And alhamdulillah, that is why Dawat Islami is here, viewers of Mother Channel. Dawat Islami is here with a mission statement that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world. And today, viewers of Mother Channel, we want to talk about those harms of not calling people towards the path of righteousness. It's reported, viewers of Mother Channel, that Allah Azza wa Jal sent a revelation to Sayyidina Nabi Yusha bin Nun, that 100,000 people of your nation would be destroyed by my torment. Out of them, 40,000 people are pious and wicked. Listen to this, viewers of Mother Channel. 40,000 people are pious and 60,000 people are wicked. The Prophet Sayyidina Nabi Yusha bin Nun alayhi salatu wasalam humbly asked, O Allah Azza wa Jal, if 100,000 people are going to be punished, 40,000 people are pious, 60,000 people are wicked, I can understand, Ya Allah, wicked people deserve torment. But why are the pious people being destroyed? And the reply was, because these pious people would also join in the company of wicked people in eating and drinking, and they are not offended after seeing their sins and disobedience to me. Allahu Akbar. We can see, viewers of Mother Channel, that if sins are happening around you and you just laugh about it, All right, you refrain from those sins. You don't commit them sins. But you do not do anything to resolve them sins. Then you will be held accountable for as well on the Day of Judgment. It is stated in the book, Jannat Mein Le Jane Wale Amal, published by Maktubatul Madina on page 595, that Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever amongst you sees an evil, if he sees an evil, he should change it with his hand. If he cannot do that, then he should change it with his tongue. And if he cannot do that, then he should change it, at least feel it bad that it's in his heart. And this is the weakest of faith. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us that if you see something that's bad, stop it. Stop it with your hand. Stop it with your hand. And if you cannot stop it with your tongue, then at least speak out against it. And if you cannot speak out against it, you're not strong enough, you don't have the iman strong enough to stop it with your hand, you don't have the ability to speak, then at least in your heart, at least in your heart, realize that that is wrong. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on, he says, and this is the weakest sign of your iman. That is the weakest sign of your iman. That when you see something, you realize it's bad. Nowadays, we see evil all around us. We see all these sins committed all around us. Do we even think that this is wrong? Do we even realize that this is wrong? Or do we say, well, it's happening and what can I do about it? Hold on, kya kare? Chalta. People say chalta. People say it's happening, isn't it? It's happening everywhere. It's happening. And become what happens is you become immune to it. And we hear from the pious predecessors that people used to backbite, a foul smell used to come from the mouth. People used to lie, a foul smell used to come from the mouth. And what is happening now is that this smell is all around us and we can't smell it. Why? Because we become immune to it. We don't even realize it's happening. It's normal now to lie, it's normal now to backbite, it's normal now to swear, it's normal now to cheat. And it's just become an accepted part of society. And so, because we accept it, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that this is your weakest sign of your iman. Has our iman gone that low that we're not in a position to even stop a sin being committed? We're not in a position where we can even speak out against a sin? That we're so scared? Or maybe we're so busy in our lifestyles that we haven't got time for this. But just think again, viewers and religion, if this happens, then what will happen in society? If people do not stop people from committing sins, if people do not invite people to the path of righteousness, then our deen will fizzle out. You know, alhamdulillah, the people that came to this country in the 60s, they came here in the 50s and 60s, the majority of them came here. Some came in the 70s and saw the community built. And when our elders came to this country, they came here. Many of them didn't know the language. Many of them were not educated. Obviously, they had no contacts. They didn't know anybody here. But alhamdulillah, what they did is they established the masjids in this country. And many, many countries around the world where Muslims have gone, one of the first things they did is they established the masjid. That was the center of the community. They established that. And then what happened was, obviously, they struggled because they didn't have the context that maybe we have now. Didn't have the education that maybe we have now. But they did it. And then they passed this on to the next generation. Us and the other generations. What is our role? Is our role just to take that as a benefit and say, okay, there's a masjid there, it looks nice. Or is our role not to take it to the next step further? Because although our elders may have built these masjids, and they may have built beautiful masjids, building a masjid and making it look beautiful is one thing, but you need to keep it beautiful. And when you mean keeping it beautiful doesn't mean changing the carpet every 2 or 3 years. Keeping it beautiful does not mean changing the tiles every 2 or 3 years. Keeping it beautiful is by ensuring that people attend the masjid. The beauty of the masjid is by the people that attend this masjid. If nobody goes to that masjid, then that masjid is no longer beautiful. Allahu Akbar. And so it is our duty now to keep that masjid beautiful. And the only way we can do this, viewers of Mother Channel, is by calling people to the path of righteousness. And if we do not, I am afraid, viewers of Mother Channel, I am afraid because in the UK we see, and this is probably happening in a lot of countries, in the UK we are seeing that a lot of buildings that were places of worship for other religions, they become abandoned. They become abandoned and nobody's in them places. And them places that used to be places of worship for their religion, other religions other than Islam, and now takeaways, restaurants, hotels, or whatever you want to call them, they're all changed. Viewers of Mother Channel, if we do not perform our duty, if we not call people to the path of righteousness, Allah forbid, and I pray that what I'm going to say to you now never ever happens, but I pray that that day does never come where a masjid is up for sale. And if it ever happens, viewers of Mother Channel, then it'll be our fault. It'll be our fault that we did not continue beautifying that masjid. We did not continue calling people to the path of righteousness. We did not continue calling people to that masjid so that that masjid can remain beauty. That masjid can remain beautiful. It will be our responsibility. And on that day, Allah forbid, and like I say, I pray to Allah, Ya Allah, make my words untrue that that day never happens. That day never comes that a masjid is ever for sale. But if that day ever happens, then who is going to be responsible for it? It'll be us viewers upon the channel. So it is our responsibility, it is our duty to make sure that we continue to spread the deen, continue to invite people to the path of righteousness, continue to stop people committing sins. And otherwise we will be held accountable for it on the day of judgment. It is narrated, viewers upon the channel, in the Quran that there are many, many verses. There are many, many verses in the Quran about calling people to the path of righteousness and also about those people that didn't. And I'm going to give you a few here. It's narrated in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 78 and 79, that those amongst the descendants of Israel who turned disbelievers were cursed by the tongue of Daud and of Isa, the son of Maryam. It was because of their disobedience and their rebellion. They did not restrain one another from the evil they used to do. Undoubtedly, they used to commit extremely evil deeds. This blessed verse, views of Mother Channel, reveals the reason why disbelievers are severely cursed due to them abandoning the call towards righteousness. And we have realized through this verse that it is wajib, absolutely necessary to prevent people from evil acts, as to not prevent evil is a major sin. A blessed hadith of the in Sunnah Tirmizi conveys that initially the scholars of Bani Israel forbade the people from indulging in sins. When they did not avoid sins, the scholars also joined them and in their gathering and drank and ate with them. This transgression resulted in the curse of Sayyidina Dawud al-Islam and Sayyidina Isa al-Islam. The prophets, they cursed these people, these scholars, because what they did is they didn't prevent them from committing these sins. They did not prevent them from committing these sins. And then what they did is they thought, okay, it was like a river. To them, it was like a river. The river is flowing. We cannot stop the river, so we jumped in the river. Yeah? There's a river of sins going. And you think to yourself, okay, I'll try and stop it. And what happens is you're trying to stop it. And our lives should be lived. Our whole life should be lived trying to stop that river. But what happens is, with a lot of us, is we think, can't do anything about it. Too fast flowing. Might as well jump in it. And we jump into that river of sins and we go along with the flow and we don't do anything about it. And just by jumping in that river, then we're making the river stronger, we're making the river faster, and it's going to be harder and harder and harder for anybody down the line to stop that flow of sins. It is narrated in the Quran in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 25. And fear the turmoil, which will certainly not fall only upon a few selected unjust people amongst you. And know that Allah's punishment is severe. Allahu Akbar. Regarding this verse, Allama Mulana Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Ramatullah Ta'ala stated, if you do not fear nor quit forbidden acts, then disorder will follow as a result and it will afflict not only the cruel and the wicked, but also the righteous and virtuous people. Allahu Akbar. You know that river that I talked to you about, the river of sins, and you're trying to stop that river. You're trying to stop the flow of that river. You're trying to stop that. If you don't, and that river gets bigger and bigger and bigger, then what happens is that river overflows and it starts to engulf people, and it'll engulf you as well. It'll engulf your families as well. You know, and we hear many, many times that unless you do something about it, you know, there's this mindset here. I've heard it so many times in the UK viewers of the channel. People say, I'm all right, Jack. And that basically, that term means that I'm okay, so I've got nothing to worry about. I don't care what's happening to him. I don't care what's happening to him. I don't care what's happening. I'm okay. My family's okay. My family's reading my namaz. And yes, it is my responsibility. I agree with you. Yes, it is your responsibility. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, save your family from that fire whose fuel is stones and men. To save your family, it is your responsibility. Yes, you are doing that. But viewers of Mother Channel, you also need to realize that when there's a fire next door, what do you do? When the fire's next door and you hear the fire brigade come and they get the ladders out and start putting the fire, what do? You don't say, well, it's next door, nothing to worry about, carry on. And you carry on eating. You don't. Is that what you do? When there's a fire next door, what do? You go outside, you call your family outside, you're worried because why? This fire could spread, this fire could come into your house as well. and you look at the fire, you monitor the fire, you call the fire brigade, you call them and say, look, please put out this fire. Why? Because obviously you want to save the people that are in that house, but you're also worried that the fire will come to your house. Viewers of Monday Channel, these ills that are happening in society, they're like the fire that is spreading in society. If you do not put out the fire, maybe you're not affected by it. Maybe you're sitting here, you're having a nice cup of tea, and you're sitting here and you're comfortable. Yeah, we're having our early morning teas. We're sitting here watching the TV at the moment. No problems. Everything's okay. My house is okay. Everybody's all right. Alhamdulillah. We read our namaz on a daily basis. We read the Quran on a daily basis. We fast during the month of Ramadan. We pay our zakat. We try and make sure that we don't do anything wrong to anybody. Okay. But there's a fire outside. And you're not doing anything about it. And if you don't do anything about it, then there's a good chance that that fire can come to you. Now you may, and I just want to leave you with this before we go to our daily reminder views on the channel. A lot of people have this mindset that alhamdulillah, they say that I'm blessed, that I have protected the iman of my children. I've safeguarded them. I've done whatever I've done. And so inshallah, I'm hopeful that my children will live on the path of Islam. They will die on the path of Islam. They will live and die as Muslims. So I'm hopeful that that will happen because I've done my bit. So I'm okay. What guarantee can you give me, viewers of Mother Channel, that your grandchildren will remain on the path of Islam? What guarantee can you give me that your great-grandchildren will die on Iman? You can't. You can't. So whilst you may have safeguarded your little family unit, the evils of society are building up and building up and building up. And so when your next generation of children go into the society and they're not vaccinated for that society. Yes, vaccinated for that society. And I'll talk about vaccinations afterwards. They're not vaccinated for that society. Then that society will affect them. They will be affected by the ills of that society because we did not do anything to resolve the problems in society. And now the society has become heavy on people and we cannot safeguard ourselves. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine Now. And today, again, I've overrun a little bit. We're going to go to our daily reminder and hopefully we'll learn something today from our daily reminder. Let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, today a very important reminder that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned many verses inside the glorious Quran, and that is the reminder of repenting from your sins, doing tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Once a person, he committed 99 murders, and then he went to a pious person and he said to him that I have committed 99 murders, with Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And the pious person, he said to him that you have committed 99 murders and you expect Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you. So he killed him as well and he made 100 murders. And then he went to another pious person and he said to him that I have committed 100 murders. Will Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me? And the pious person, he says, do tawbah in the court of Allah. Repent from your sins. Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you. This pious person's advice, this person, he took it onto his heart and he repented and he pleaded in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what happened, as he left his house, the pious person said to him that go to so and so place, there are some pious people there, stay with them and plead in the court of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will be merciful upon you, he will forgive your sins. As this person who committed 100 murders, as he left his house, he walked a few steps and he slumped to the floor and he died. The angels of Rahmat came to collect his body. The angels of punishment came to collect his body. And they were arguing amongst themselves. The angel of Rahmat was saying, because he repented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will go to the gardens of paradise. And the angels of punishment, they said to them that no, because he committed 100 murders, he deserves the fire of hell. As they were arguing amongst themselves, Allah Azza wa Jal said to the angels, O my angels, measure the distance. If this person, if he is close to his house, then O angels of punishment, you take him. And if he is close to the pious people, then O angels of mercy, you take him. And then when the angels measured the distance with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, the distance between him and the pious people was just a few steps. And Allah Azza wa Jal he said to the angels of mercy that, O angels, take his body. And that person was taken into the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and into the gardens of paradise. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, I know we've committed many sins. We've committed so many sins that sometimes the shaitan, you know, he makes you despair the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And remember, Allah Ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O believers, do not despair the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is great. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is greater. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, He Rab Azza wa Jal, He is the merciful. We start the glorious Quran by reading Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, the greatest and the merciful. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, once we do tawbah in the court of Allah, we repent from our sins, inshallah Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala will forgive us. There are so many incidents, you know, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lives of the awliya ikram, how the awliya Allah, if you look at their past lives, Hazrat Sayyiduna Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Hazrat Sayyiduna Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, these are great personalities. These are people that we remember today as the pious people. But if you read their lives, these people, when they did tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala forgave their sins and Allah Azza wa Jal made them the greatest people in their time. Today, if we can repent from our sins, if we can just cry in the fear of Allah, if we can just sit back and think to ourselves that yes, I have done this, own up to these mistakes, and once you start to own up to your faults, Allah Ta'ala, inshallah Azza wa Jal, will forgive you. If He can forgive all these great personalities that me and you cherish and talk about, then why will Allah Ta'ala not forgive me and you? So let's repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask forgiveness, seek the forgiveness of Allah, inshallah Azza wa Jal, He will inshallah Azza wa Jal forgive our sins. And that's the ulama kiram, they say, do not delay in the tawbah. Don't think to yourself, I'll do it tonight, I'll do it on a Friday, I'll do it when the month of Ramadan comes, I'll do it later on. No, because no one has seen the next minute. Always be thoughtful, mindful, that our life can be gone anytime. So instead of delaying this, now when you are watching this, just repent now. In your heart, just say that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I repent from my sin. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala will shower His mercy and blessings upon us. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we just saw the daily reminder, mashallah, with the Mubalik Hafiz Rifaqat Attari, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him. And he was talking there about the fact that, you know, a person, he committed 99 murders and yet he could still be forgiven. So, no matter what our state is, viewers of Madani Channel, we should always never think to ourselves that I've gone too far. I've gone too far, now I can't come back. You know, there's no way now, oh no, I've gone so far down that line, I can't come back. I can't come back. We can always come back. Don't ever think that there is no way back. And sometimes people, this again is a shaitanic whisper, viewers of the channel, that people, a shaitanic whisper will come in your mind that, look, I'm too involved in this now. There's no way out. It's a one-way street. You know, I'm never going to be forgiven. I'm cursed now. I've had it now. I've wasted my life. I've lost my life. And there's no way I can sort my life out now. Never ever think that. Always believe in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Seek forgiveness. Sincerely repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be forgiven. I know it's hard, I know it's not easy, but inshallah Azza wa Jal, every step that you take towards seeking forgiveness is going to make the next step easier, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And associate yourselves with the environment of Dawah Islam. These people, these brothers, can help you, inshallah Azza wa Jal, to sort your life out. Viewers of the channel, we were talking earlier on about the harms of abandoning the call towards righteousness. And we were saying that, you know, we may think that our families are okay, but then what guarantees can we give to our next generation of children that are coming up, and what will happen to them with their iman? And you know, if you're somebody challenge, you know what happens is that when a child is born in this country, and probably anywhere around the world in fact, when a child is born, as soon as a child is born, the doctors, they will start giving that child a series of injections. I remember when my granddaughter was born, that within literally an hour, they give an injection in the heel of the foot. Then the next day, they give injections. Then 2 weeks later, then a month later, then 2 months later, then 3 months later, constantly giving these children injections. What are these? What are these injections, viewers of the channel? I'll tell you what they are. These injections are vaccinations, and we know this. We know that they're vaccinations. These vaccinations are there to protect that child so that when that child comes in front of them diseases, when them diseases, because them diseases are prevalent in the society, when them diseases are there, that cause that child is vaccinated, them diseases will not affect them child. When he comes into contact with that disease, measles, mumps, rubella, whatever the disease is, that child, because he is vaccinated, that disease cannot affect that child. Okay? We understand that. And we do this. And not only that, we do this before this child even going to leave the home. So the child, we know that whilst the child is a baby, it's not going to go out. It's not going to go out into society. It's not going to be mixing amongst people. It's going to stay in the comfort of the home. We say that even when that child's at primary school, junior school, high school, it's got this protection. And it stays in that little bubble that you've created for that child. As the child gets older, then that child starts going out. It starts finding its own roads, its own avenues, its own places of working, etc., etc. And so what happens is, though, from a young age, we've already vaccinated that child. Views of Mother Channel, what about moral vaccinations? What about vaccinations of the soul to protect that child? What are we doing? Yeah. Okay, I've given them the measles, mumps, rubella, or whatever injections we've given them. But have you given them the vaccination? So when then the evils of society come in front of them, when adultery comes in front of them, when then gambling comes in front of them, when drugs come in front of them, when smoking comes in front of them, when all these sins come in front of them, they are vaccinated by them. They're not affected by them. Why? Because you have vaccinated them. And if we don't vaccinate them, then these diseases will affect them. Similarly, if we do not vaccinate the whole society, we do not help people. You know, if we know that there's something is wrong, we help ourselves, but we should help others as well. And if we don't, then maybe your child will survive. Maybe your child will be that. But if it becomes so much around, then it's be harder. In the same way that even if you have vaccinations, but the disease gets so strong. And what happens is as the diseases get stronger, they have different, you know, with medical diseases, they get different types of diseases that developed as a result of that disease. New diseases developed as a result of that disease. 20 years ago, viewers on the channel, we didn't have social media. 20 years ago, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have these problems. So these new diseases are constantly, and when I use the word diseases, I mean that these things, these social media, these internet, yes, they can be beneficial, but also there are problems there, and we know there are problems there. Again, we need to admit this, and this is another problem that we have. We don't admit that there's a problem. These problems exist. These problems exist around us, and the first problem that we have is we don't even admit that these problems are. You know, there used to be an example that we were taught at school that, you know, they said that the ostrich. Ostrich is a bird that normally you see in Australia, in the southern hemisphere. It's a huge bird, a very high one, has a long neck and long legs, and it can run quite fast. And whatever happened was, whenever the ostrich used to get scared, it used to lower its head and put its head in the sand. Right? It used to bury its head in the sand, and because the ostrich could not see anything, the ostrich foolishly thought nobody can see him. And again, that is what we are doing, viewers of the channel. We're burying our heads in the sand, right? And not realizing that the problem is there. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean to say it's gone away. And what happens is we ignore these problems. We ignore these problems that are going around them. And what would ultimately happen in the same way that the ostrich buries its head in the sand and the hunter can now see the ostrich is not running, it's an easy kill. Easy for the hunter to kill that bird. In the same way, because we bury our heads in the sand, we think the problem's not existing. We don't care what's happening. And we say, no, no, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. And because of that, we have this problem. I remember viewers on Mother Channel many, many years ago. I'm trying to think how long now. I can't remember how long. Maybe 15 years ago. 10 or 15 years ago, I went to a masjid. And I was invited there to do a small speech. And I spoke about the ills of drugs, intoxicants, and how the illness of drugs is spreading. And after the speech, the committee members called me to one side. And basically, they told me off. They said to me, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? He said, you're scaring people. You're scaring people. And I said, what do you mean I'm scaring people? you know, you painted a picture about drugs that it's so prevalent in society, it's such a huge problem. It's not a problem here, mate. We're okay here. It may be happening in some places abroad, in other countries, you know, in other cities around the world. But here, no, it's not happening here. You're scaring people here. I don't want you talking about this subject again. And I thought to myself, I said, okay, fair enough. I said, look, I apologise if that's what you think. I said, I hope that you are right, but I'm fearful that you are wrong. And they said, no, drugs isn't a problem here. Not a problem here, we haven't got any problems whatsoever. I said, okay, fair enough. So I left. 6 weeks later, 6 to 8 weeks later, I get a phone call from one of them committee members. And they said, can you come back and do that speech again? I went, what? 6 to 8 weeks ago, you told me never to talk about this subject again, and now you're inviting me back to your own place. And what had happened, to cut the story short, for you, Zumbo the Channel, the children of the committee members of the Masjid had been caught and sentenced to a jail sentence for drug dealing. What is happening? We're just burying our heads in the sand. We don't even realise that these problems are around us. And because we don't realise these problems are around us, we don't do anything about it. And then what happens is, it goes one step further, that those people are trying to do something about it, you stop them because you think they're scaremongering. No, it's not a problem here. People don't lie here. People are trustworthy people here. People are honest people here. And what happens is, again, viewers of the channel, we become immune to these illnesses. We don't even realise that these illnesses are happening. We don't even realise that these diseases are happening because they're so happening so much. And someone again, gave me the example, and I think I've used this example with you before, but I'll share with you again. He gave the example of getting 2 pans of water. You get 2 pans of water. You boil 1 pan. You boil the water. You boil the water, and then you throw a frog in it. You throw the frog in the water, and what'll happen is the frog will jump out. Because all of a sudden it's hot water, scalding hot water. And in the same way that when your hand touches hot, you react quickly. Automatically, you jump out of the way. So this frog has now jumped out of the water. In another pan, you put cold water. You put cold water and you put a frog in it. And then you put the cold water pan on a cooker. And you put the heat very, very low. And slowly, 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 the heat starts to warm up in the water. And as the water gets warmer, the frog adjusts to the heat. You know, you get used to it. As you go abroad, when you go to a hot country, initially it's hard, but your body adjusts to it. Yeah? So what happens is, because the heat is going up slowly, the frog adjusts to it. It gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And the body keeps on trying to adjust, and it'll get to a point where the body cannot adjust. But now, because the body is so tired with adjusting, it can't adjust, and what happens is the frog dies. Now, this frog here is like that person that comes from abroad, comes from a religious background, comes from a country. Let's, for example, say he comes from somewhere like Pakistan or India. He comes here, and when he comes here and you're picking him up from the airport and you're driving him home, all the way home, every 20 seconds, 30 seconds, Astaghfirullah, 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 Astaghfirullah. He's doing that all the way home. And you're thinking, what's up with him? What's up with him? And what it is, his viewers of Mother Channel, he's that frog that's jumping out the hot pan of water because he's seen things. And what has happened is you've become this frog. You become this frog because all them things that he's saying Astaghfirullah to, you've accepted. You don't even realise. When you see people committing adultery on street corners, you don't blink an eye. When you see people drug dealing, taking drugs, you don't blink an eye. When you see people arguing, fighting on the streets, you don't blink an eye. When you see people swearing, you don't blink an eye. When you see people abusing the parents, you don't blink an eye. Whereas this person here, he is doing this. And that is what is happening, viewers of the channel. We become immune to the system. And because we become immune to the system, we think, okay, let it flow, let it be, because we don't even care anymore. We don't care anymore. So we become that person. Where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you see an evil, speak out against it. Stop it with your hand. If you can't do that, speak out against it. If you can't, then feel it in your heart. We become that person that we don't even feel it in our heart. We don't even feel it in our heart. We don't even realise that there's a problem. And that's how low we become. And because we don't even feel it in our heart, viewers of Mother Channel, that is why society is going where it is, because we are not doing anything about it. And the other problem that we have, viewers of Mother Channel, is we think we can't do anything about it. We think it's impossible. It's so bad, I can't do anything about it. You know, maybe, you know, Amir al-Sunnah has taken a mission on. He's taken a mission on to rectify the people of the whole world. Now, maybe that mission will never be complete. Maybe he will never rectify the people of the whole world. Maybe backbiting will always continue. Maybe there will always be people that would not read namaz. Maybe there will always be people that are committing these sins. But along the path that he has taken, surely we can see that those people that he has saved. So yes, maybe we cannot save everybody, but at least save those people that you can. So again, having this mindset that I can't save anybody. You know, there was a woman, she was sitting at a seashore. When you go to the beach and you see these shells, you see the shells. What shells there actually are is normally there's two shells that are joined together. And inside the shell, there's a fish called a shellfish. And what happens is as the sea comes up, the shellfish come up. And as the water goes back, the shellfish remain there. And through the heat of the sun, they dry out and the fish dies. And the fish dries out and disappears. And what's left? These shells. And so we pick up these shells. One day there was a woman and she was at the seashore. And she was picking up these shellfish because the water had just gone back, and she's picking up the shellfish and she's throwing them back into the sea. Throwing them back into the sea. And someone asked her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "The water's just gone out. I'm trying to save these shellfish. Because if I don't save these shellfish, as the sun comes out, these shellfish will die. I'm trying to save them." The man looked to his left, looked to his right, and he said, "But there's millions of shellfish. There's millions of shellfish over there. There's millions of shellfish. What's the point? What's the point? You can't save them all. What's the point of putting this effort in? What's the point of you throwing these shellfish away? You can't save them all." And the woman said, "Yes, my effort, maybe I can't save them all, but I can save this one. I can save this one that's in my hand." And she throws it back into the sea. I can save this one. So never think to yourself that this task is so great that it's impossible. We need to continue. We need to continue and strive. And you know what Amir al-Sunnah asks us? He asks us in the Madrina Madkar, "Have you given 2 hours, 2 hours a day to the deen?" Allahu Akbar. Realistically, if you think about it, use the Madrina channel, shaitan, how many hours a day is shaitan working? More than 23 hours and 59 minutes, I'll tell you that. He's working a full 24 hours. The army of shaitan works 24 hours a day to take our iman away, and we can't even give 2 hours. You know, if we were to give 24 hours a day, it would probably not be enough. 2 hours we cannot give. And we need to give this views of Mother Channel. If we're not, then the whole society will break down, and we'll have a society where there'll be anarchy, there'll be no shame whatsoever. Nobody will fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I mentioned it early on, if you have no shame, do whatever you want. And that is why we are seeing what we are seeing today, views of Mother Channel. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded the believers to forbid prohibited acts amongst themselves, i.e. they prevent evils using the power of authority within their capacities. If they do not carry it out, torment will affect all of them, whether they are sinful or sinless as well. If you're in a position to do something about it, and you do not do something about it, and you do not commit the sin, then you will also be punished because you did not do something about it. So not doing something about it is a sin. Not doing something about it is a sin. And we all need to do it according to our authority, to our position. Not everybody can do everything, but we should all play our part. We should all play our part. Now, I'm here talking to you. I'm here talking to you right now. Not everybody can do that. We accept that. We accept that. But there's a lot of things that a lot of people do that I cannot do. So we can all play our little part. We have the technical team here. I have the technical team in my ear talking to me. They all play their part. And we all need to play our part in doing the work of deen. Instead of saying, "Well, I can't do anything. What can I do? There's nothing I can do about it." We can all do something. Even to the extent, viewers of Mother Channel, even if you play your part to the simple extent that a gathering takes place, and you, what do you do is you just hoover up after the gathering. You put up the posters for that gathering. You help the sound team for that gathering. You laid the wires for that gathering. You pack up after that gathering. Whatever you do, whatever little thing that you do that you may feel is insignificant, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it may be greater than the person that's at the front of the stage. Because the person that does the speech, the person that's standing there in the mic, and he does a speech in front of 5,000 people, 10,000 people, afterwards what happens is people come to him and say, "Mashallah, Very good beyond. MashaAllah. Excellent. Oh, I really learnt a lot today. And so his nafs, controlling his nafs is very hard. And then is he doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or is he doing it for the people to reward him? But that person, that after everybody's left, he's tidying up the masjid. He's hoovering the masjid. That person that put up the posters when nobody saw him. That person that laid the cables for the sound system when nobody saw him. That person that carried the speakers to the van when nobody saw him. Does anybody ever go up to him and say, MashaAllah, you did a fantastic job today carrying that speaker to the van. You did a fantastic job putting up them posters. Nobody does that. So that person, his sincerity is pure. So never think to yourself, I cannot do anything. We can all do something. We can all do something if only we present ourselves. So have this mindset that, look, I need to do something for the deen. I need to present something for the deen. And some people, there are some people like the viewers of Madhi Channel, that they are so busy. And I understand this. They are so busy in their businesses. They cannot find any time. But these people could support those people. I remember recently, viewers of Madhi Channel, we went to visit some businessmen. And they said to us that we are so preoccupied with our business, we haven't got time. But we bought a plot of land. Yeah, we bought a plot of land about 18 years ago. 18 years ago, we bought this plot of land. And we wanted to build industrial units on it. We wanted to do this on it. But now we thought to ourselves, no, let's build something for the community. Let's build a school for the community. Let's build a madrasa there for the community. So they haven't got the time to go out on the streets and stop people committing evil. They haven't got the time to go into the masjids and talk to people there. They haven't got the time to go on the streets and invite people to the masjid. But what they can do, they are doing. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them for that. In the same way, we can all do something. Don't ever think you can't do anything. Viewers of Madhi Channel, we're going to take a small break. Now we're going to go to the hadith of the day and hopefully we'll learn something there. Let's go to the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, Salasun man kunna fihi wajata halawat al-Iman, that whosoever possesses three qualities, three such attributes, will attain the sweetness of Iman. He will attain the sweetness of faith. What are those three qualities, dear viewers of Rise and Shine? Firstly, أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما, that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam become the most beloved to this individual over everything else, that he loves Allah and His Messenger the most in regards to anything else. For this, one needs to dedicate and invest his time in learning about the beautiful religion of Islam, safeguarding himself from those things which could possibly earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, the more we study about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character, his life, his dealings, then the more love we shall cherish in regards to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. The second thing, that the person, he loves another person only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that within our hearts, we should keep our hearts clean, and within our hearts, we should not have any hatred or any malice towards anyone else. And the third quality mentioned, that he hates leaving the fold of Islam, he hates reverting towards back to disbelief, as he hates to be thrown into the fire of hell. This is how much he hates to leave the folds of Islam. This implies on how strongly rooted one ought to be upon his Islamic beliefs and values. Subhanallah, what a beautiful hadith. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to ponder over this hadith and implement these three great qualities within our lives so that we too can attain the sweetness of Iman. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about the harms of abandoning the call to righteousness. You know, because when you are calling people towards the path of righteousness, it's not just that act. It's not just that act. Behind it, all of the supporting team that is behind that act, is also part of the act. And sometimes if you don't have that supporting team, that act cannot be committed. You know, for example, now I'm sat here and I'm talking to you. Now, what do I need to be able to speak to you today? I need a technical team here to come up, to set the lights, to set the cameras, to set the sound, to make sure everything's okay, checking and everything. Then we need the technical team at the other side that are making sure that it's monitoring. Then we need the technical team that's sending the signal up and checking it. And we have the mufattish and everything. And all these things are happening in the background. All this technical team is happening in the background. Then we have the satellites. We have the resources. We have the cameras. We have all of these things. And as a result of all of these things, that are financial costs, that are physical time, all of these things, as a result of that, I can speak to you today. So, you know, it's not necessarily just the act of calling people towards path of righteousness, but it's all the supporting team. And what I'm saying to you, viewers of Mother Channel, if that supporting team is not there, if the technical team is not here today, if the cameraman didn't turn up today, yeah, the cameraman didn't turn up today and I sat here, who would be listening to me? Nobody. So we need all of this. So everybody needs to be part of this. And just to give you a worldly example, viewers of Mother Channel, because people, unfortunately, nowadays, when you're given a religious example, they fail to understand it. If I was to give you a worldly example, let's say it's the World Cup football. Let's talk about a sport, football. Yeah? And in the World Cup final, a certain player, he scores the goal, and as a result of him, they have won the trophy, and that country is celebrating. Okay. But behind that one person that scored that goal is a whole team of people. And just imagine, even the person that would seem insignificant, he would seem insignificant, his responsibility is to put diesel in the coach. That's his responsibility. His responsibility is to put diesel in the coach and make sure the coach is safe, make sure that the coach can run, and his responsibility is to put diesel in the coach. That's his responsibility, nothing else, putting diesel in the coach. If he does not fulfill his responsibility, will that team be able to get to the stadium? The team won't be able to get to the stadium, and as a result of the team not getting to the stadium, the person won't score the goal and they won't win the trophy. So the whole thing, the whole package is needed. You know, when we were young, there used to be a story that we were told. I'm trying to remember it now as I speak to you. Hopefully I'll get it right. And it was basically, the story was that they said that for want of a nail, you know, a nail, the horseshoe was lost. You know, horses, they have shoes, you know, the shape like that. And what happens is they're hammered into the feet of the horse. And they're saying that we didn't have a nail. For want of a nail, the horseshoe was lost. It's a rhyme that we learned. For want of a nail, the horseshoe was lost. For want of a horseshoe, the horse was lost. Because you've not got the nail, you can't use the horseshoe. Because you can't use the horseshoe, you can't use the horse. For want of the horse, the general was lost. For want of a general, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the war was lost. For want of a war, the kingdom was lost. All for the want of a horseshoe nail. Meaning that that horseshoe nail, as a result of that, we lost the shoe. As a result of the shoe, we lost the horse. As a result of the horse, we lost the general. As a result of not having the general, we lost the battle. As a result of losing that battle, we lost the war. As a result of losing that war, we lost the whole kingdom. And why did all this happen? One nail. One nail. So never think to yourself that I am insignificant. I can't do anything. Even if we are the nail, and I'm not going to call anybody a nail. Amir Sunan says that even if, you know, every straw is valuable to me. And he says, I'm not calling anybody a straw. I'm not calling anybody a thinker, but everybody is valuable. I'm not calling anybody a nail here, viewers of Mother Channel. But all of us can play our part. Whether we are the nail, whether we are shoe, whether we are the horse, whether we are general, whatever we are, we all need to be in this battle against Shaitan. We need to be in this battle against Shaitan and fight the army of Shaitan head on to resolve the ills of society. And if we don't, if we give up, then what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? We'll say, can't do anything about it. It's impossible, boy. Yeah, you talk a lot. Seems like a good idea, but it's not feasible. You're going to say to me, it's not possible. It is possible. We can do it. But we all need to do it. We all need to be part of it. And sometimes we might not see the fruit of it. You might not see the results of your efforts. You may think to yourself, well, I'm doing this. I've been doing this now for days, for weeks, and nothing. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's listening to me. That is maybe what you think. But your job, viewers of Mother Channel, is to plant the seed. That's your job. The farmer, what is his job? The farmer's job is to plant the seed. It is up to Allah, whether that seed will go into a tree or not. But if the farmer stops planting the seed because he can't see the results of it, yeah, and he can't realize what's the benefit of it, then we will fail. So we need to continue doing this work. It is stated in a blessed hadith, Views of Mother Channel, that if anybody from any nation that is engaged in committing disobedience and people, despite having the ability and power to stop them, they do not prevent him, they do not prevent that, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will inflict a torment on them before they die. If you have a power, if you have the ability to stop someone from doing something, if you can do something about it and you don't do something about it, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Allah Azza wa Jalla will inflict a torment upon you. Allahu Akbar. There are many ways, viewers of Mother Channel, of stopping people from committing ill deeds. There are many ways of calling people towards the path of righteousness, and we need to learn these ways. If there is a strong possibility that the offenders will refrain from evil acts, if they are called towards righteousness, it is wajib upon you to do it. It is wajib upon you to do it. And so it is your responsibility. If you feel that people listen to me, people will respect what I say, yeah, and if I speak, that person will listen to me, and you remain silent, then you have committed the sin. It is wajib upon you. If there is a strong possibility that they will make false allegations and become abusive, then refraining from them, from calling them towards righteousness, is preferable. Then if you realize that these people, they will not listen to you, if you realize that these people will abuse you, will commit more sins, then okay, you can stay away. But I would say even then you need to carry on. Carry on inviting people to the path of deen and never give up. You know, again, one thing I've learned in the environment of Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. Hate the sin, don't hate the sin. Hate the sinner. We hate the sin of alcohol. We hate the sin of drugs. We hate the sin of adultery. We hate the sin of gambling. We hate all of these sins. But we should never hate the person who's committing them sins. And we should never give up on them. Don't ever think to yourself, look, he's gone too far, he'll never listen. I want to share a story with you today. Again, maybe I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again. Here in the UK, there was a person. He was a known alcoholic, a Muslim. Everybody knew he was an alcoholic. Everybody knew that every day he'd be constantly drinking alcohol. There was one person, one mubalig, that constantly kept on trying to invite him, constantly trying to remind him to not drink alcohol, constantly trying to invite him to the masjid. And this person never listened. This person never listened. But this person never listened, but this person never gave up. He never gave up. And one day, on the day of Jummah, this person, he says to him that, look, come on, today's Jummah. And I'm talking to you today. Today's the day of Jummah. Come on, come to the masjid today. Now, them words, all them words that he's spoken before, for some reason didn't have any effect on him. But them words that day, for some reason, had an effect on the heart of that person. And that person said, you know what? Yeah, okay, Tiga, you keep on inviting me, you've never stopped. You know what, today, I'll come to the masjid. Today, I'll see you at Jummah. I'll see you there, inshallah. Let me go home, let me get changed, let me have a shower, and I'll see you there at the masjid. Now, the mubalik, he was very wise. He thought to himself, if this person goes home, then he's gone. Yeah, I'm never going to see him again. So he says to him, look, I'll come with you, I'll take you home. You can get changed, you can have a shower, whatever it is, and we'll go to the masjid together, and I'll drop you back off. So the person said, okay, because his intention was pure. His intention was to come to the masjid, but this mubalik was just making sure. So they go home, he has a shower, changes his clothes, comes to the masjid. And views of Mother Channel, this is a true story that I was told, that this person, as soon as he took one or two steps inside the masjid, he had a heart attack and he died inside the masjid. Now, views of Mother Channel, we know that our death is written for us. But if that mubalik had given up, if that mubalik had thought, you know what, forget it, I'm not bothering, then maybe that death would have been written for that person somewhere else, in a state of intoxication. So he died in a blessed place, he died in the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why? Because that person never gave up. He never gave up on that person. And we should never give up on people. We should never think to ourselves that, look, you know, they're not possible, it cannot happen. So whilst we're trying to reform ourselves, whilst we're trying to rectify ourselves, whilst we're trying to sort ourselves out, we should also try and sort out others as well. MashaAllah, well, I believe we've got a package now. Sorry, viewers of my channel. I believe we've got a package now. We're just going to go to a package. Let's go to the package of the day, inshallah. I'm hopeful that after this package, we'll have our guest of the day as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
تشرق الأرجاء ومطوي في نعمان هيا نتوجه للمسجد حان وقت الصلاة.
أخي أحمد، أنا غير متوضئ، سوف أتوضأ وأعود.
أنا متوضئ، دعني أجدد الوضوء.
من نور هديك تشرق الأرجاء، وبطيب ذكرك تعبق الأجواء، أسرت بي الأشواق نحوك مثلما بك كان نحو المقدس الإسراء.
أخي نعمان، لو تسمح لي أن أقول لك شيئا.
نعم تفضل. بالتأكيد
لقد رأيتك تستخدم الماء أثناء الوضوء أكثر من الحاجة، وهذا إسراف لا يجوز. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
نعم أنت محق، لكني رأيت الكمية الهائلة من الماء فاستخدمت الماء بشكل أكبر.
لا، هذا غير مناسب، حتى وإن كان الماء كثيرا فلا يجوز الإسراف فيه، لأن رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم نهانا عن الإسراف فيه وإن كنا على نهر جاري.
يا سبحان الله.
وقوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم يعني أنها أمانة ومسؤولية عن كل ما في الكون.
يا سبحان الله، ألي هذا القدر يهتم ديننا بالحياة ويأمرنا بالمحافظة على الماء حتى ولو كنا على نهر جار؟ حقا إنه لشيء عظيم. أخي أحمد، أنا أشكرك كثيرا لأنك لفتت انتباهي إلى ذلك، وأنوي من الآن فصاعدا المحافظة على الماء وترك التبذير والإسراف إن شاء الله تعالى.
إن شاء الله تعالى. أيها الأحبة الأكارم، الماء نعمة حبان الله إياها وأسبغها على الخلق والبشر، والحفاظ عليها أمر مهم ومطلوب. إن واقع الحال يشير إلى استهلاك المياه بشكل غير رشيد، مما يؤدي إلى هدر هذا المورد الحيوي زيادة على الحاجة، وعليه لابد من أن نستخدم التوعية النفسية ونحافظ على الماء من التبذير والإسراف لئلا يحرمنا الله تعالى عن هذه النعمة العظيمة. فهيا ننوي جميعا ألا نهدرها ونتعامل مع المياه بحرص وتدبير، إضافة إلى ترشيد الإخوة والأحباب باستهلاك المياه بصورة تنسجم مع متقلبات الحياة بعيدا عن التبذير والإسراف فيها، لأن الماء أساس
الحياة. ذكرك تعبق الأجواء.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of the channel, we had a small package there in the Arabic and the subtitles. I really enjoyed that actually. I thought that was very, very good, mashallah. And I was looking forward to seeing that because I'd seen it, but I was hoping that we could run this package so I could watch it again, mashallah. And again, congratulations to the team that are, mashallah, doing extra work. And again, so much work is taking place in the background, viewers of the channel. Just imagine the amount of effort that's taken in just doing that small little package there that we saw for a minute and the message that we learned from that. And again, like I said to you, everybody can play their part. Everybody can be part of this team, of this army, to work for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and to fight against the army of Shaitan. Viewers of the channel, I mentioned earlier on that inshallah Azza wa Jal, we've got a guest coming to us. And again, this guest is multitasked. Not only, like I said to you early on, I can speak to you, but I cannot do what this guest can do. But this guest can also speak to you as well, mashallah. He's a mubalik of Dawud Islami. You've seen him on Madani channel. He can do the translation work as well. He can do many other skills as well. I'm just limited to probably just talking to you a few hours a day. But this, mashallah, is a multitask person. Mashallah, we have Wasim Bhai with us today from London. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you, Wasim Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Khalid Bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Wasim Bhai, today we're talking about, you know, alhamdulillah, the organization of Dawud Islami is all about giving neki ki dawud. It's all about inviting people to the path of righteousness. It's all about rectifying ourselves and rectifying the people of the whole world. But today we're talking about that if we didn't do it, what would the harm, what would be the negative impact? Maybe, you know, people think, well, nothing would happen. What would the harms be if we did not call people to the path of righteousness? And how can we do it? I was hoping that you give us some of your words of wisdom. Mashallah, you are at the head of our translation department here in the UK. And alhamdulillah, you get to do a lot of studying. And so, mashallah, you've read a lot, you have learned it a lot. So mashallah, I'm hoping that you can give us some words of wisdom.
Allah Ta'ala bless you, Khalid Bhai. It's very important topic that we're discussing today, especially from the perspective of the importance it holds in our religion, for our faith. Because if you think about it, we are talking about the harms of abandoning call towards righteousness. And if we all ask ourselves, if we all question ourselves that how are we today sitting over here in front of Madani Channel, or today offering a 5 times daily salah, in other words, we are Muslims today, it was because someone came to our ancestors and they conveyed call to righteousness to them. There was a time when, of course, our ancestors, someone back in our lineage, they were not Muslims. But some wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came over, especially if you talk about the subcontinent region. Someone came over there. We have the likes of Data Ganpur Shajveri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Ma Qa'ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who conveyed call towards righteousness. And it was the impact, the effect of that call towards righteousness that, alhamdulillah, we see so many millions of Muslims in that particular region. So just imagine if those pious people of Allah Almighty had not conveyed call towards righteousness to them, then what would our state be today? So the importance of call towards righteousness is very, very highly highlighted in a hadith as well for us. And you can take this example from the fact that just imagine if there's a fire in your neighborhood, and you think to yourself that this fire is not harming me, it's in my neighborhood. Until and unless I don't do something to control that fire, very soon it will spread and it will also burn my house down as well. So if we take the same example and replace fire with sins, with the evils that are being committed in the society, if today we don't do anything practically to stop them, then very soon we or our children will also get caught up with this fire of sins. And then we will regret that our children are not obedient to us. They are involved in unlawful activities, which unfortunately we see quite commonly nowadays in our society. So this very fact that today we are Muslims is backed up by the fact of Aba Awliya Karam conveying the call towards righteousness. So what else can be a bigger wake-up call for us, that had they not been called towards righteousness to our ancestors, we perhaps wouldn't have been Muslims today. So this is one of the biggest facts that we can appreciate this beautiful action that was performed by our pious predecessors. And Khalid, today it's our responsibility to carry this task further, as alhamdulillah, we were amongst those whose ancestors were given the call towards righteousness, and we are Muslims today. But what about those who are involved in evil actions? What about those who today are still deprived of this treasure of Iman? So just imagine, just place them at the same point where our ancestors were, and someone came to them to call them towards righteousness. Today, it is our responsibility to convey this call towards righteousness, A, to those who don't have Iman, and B, which is perhaps one of the most quite very important nowadays, to call towards righteousness to those brothers, those people who are involved in evil actions, who do not offer salah, who are involved in unlawful and immoral activities, before the curse of their evil actions also engulfs our household, our children, and then we have nothing else but to regret. So before this fire catches up our homes, our household, this is the time where we practically need to do something to control this fire of sins before it's too late for us.
But Wasim Bhai, you know, how? Because mashallah, you are the head of our translation department in the UK here. I can't even read and write Urdu. I'll be honest with you. I can't do what you're doing. You know, and the people are out there saying, well, I can't talk to people. I haven't got the ability to invite people to the path of righteousness. What can I do? You know, and so there'll be people out there saying, okay, you've given us a good message here, we've seen, by that we need to do this, but I can't do it. So what can I do? And because I can't do it, am I saved from the calamity? Am I not going to be questioned because I can't do anything about it? And so because the society's got so bad, it's impossible to rectify, it's impossible to sort this problem out. And because of that, then I'm not going to be questioned about it because there's nothing I can do about it.
That's the main thing that you've spoken about, that first of all, what we need to understand is it's not that I can't do anything. I don't physically need to be, extraordinarily qualified to be doing these things. Alhamdulillah, every single individual out there can play his part whatsoever in this beautiful, noble cause. No matter what walk of life you come from, no matter what your background is, alhamdulillah, every Muslim is a preacher. Whether you're a doctor, you're a solicitor, you're an accountant, engineer, whatever you are, in whatever walk of life you come from, every Muslim is a preacher. He is a muballigh. So first of all, we need to clear our mind that I can't do anything. Alhamdulillah, you can do, you can do, you can do. This is the first thing that we need to develop our mindset about. And secondly, in terms of what we can do. Now, alhamdulillah, the platform of Dawat-e-Islami is in front of you. Dawat-e-Islami is spreading the message of Islam approximately more than 108 departments. So we have our professional brothers who are accountants or solicitors, who are, engineers, so on and so forth, and they are serving deen through the platform of Dawat-e-Islami as per their skills, whatever they are skilled in. So whatever skills you have, please come forward. Join Dawat-e-Islami, and Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, in this day and age, will give you the opportunity to spread call towards righteousness as per your skills. This is another beauty, Khalid bhai, of Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, that Dawat-e-Islami utilizes the relevant skills of the individuals to serve deen. This wouldn't be seen quite often in the society outside, but if you are accountant, come forward. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami will use you accordingly. So you can propagate deen, you can spread call towards righteousness. If you are a literature expert, you have skills, linguistic skills, please come forward. Translation department of Dawat-e-Islami needs you. Let's say you're IT expert, please come forward. The IT department of Dawat-e-Islami needs you, so on and so forth. So whatever walk of life you come from, alhamdulillah, in this day and age, the platform of Dawat-e-Islami is there to make you work in your field, in whichever field you're expert in. And inshallah, Zawajal, you can serve, you can propagate the message of Islam through the platform of Dawat-e-Islami. So don't think that you cannot do this. Yes, you can do this. Dawat-e-Islami will use your skills, inshallah, Zawajal, and you will also be amongst those who spread call towards righteousness.
Jazakallah, Wasim bhai. We're coming towards the end of the program. I'm going to have to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah. Two or three things I want to quickly mention before we finish. Number one, Wasim bhai mentioned that whatever field you are in, you can do something. I remember there was an ice cream man. He used to sell ice cream. And what he used to do is he used to keep Risala little booklets in his car, in his ice cream van. And as he was giving ice creams away, selling ice creams, he used to give these booklets away as well. And he was doing his little part as well. Second little bit of advice I want to give to you is that someone once asked, who should you call people? Who should you call towards the path of righteousness? And this person said, I employ the 3-foot rule, meaning the 1-yard rule. And I said to him, what do you mean by the 1 yard? He said, 1 yard. Whoever comes within that distance, I invite him to the path of righteousness. Now, maybe nowadays we're in social distancing and it's 1 meter, 1.5 meters, 2 meters. But whoever comes within that boundary, give him Nikki Kidawat, call him to the path of righteousness. And finally, just some beautiful words that Nigrana Shura shared with us. He said to us that here in the UK and all around the world, we have these motorways. And these motorways, people travel on these motorways at 100 kilometers an hour, 120 kilometers, 150 kilometers, whatever the national speed limit is. He said, but when that motorway was built, then 1 kilometer of that motorway might have taken months to build, might have taken years to build. And as a result of the efforts of those people that worked in the rain, the snow, the heat, or whatever they did, they built that motorway. They struggled to build that motorway. But today we are traveling on that motorway at high speeds. And he said, become the ummah, the motorway builders of the ummah of the future. Work hard today to put the foundations down today so that the ummah of the future can have an easy life. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that I hope that we are all encouraged to give Nikki Kidawat. I pray that we're all encouraged to give culture righteousness, and we all join this beautiful environment of Dawah Islami in calling people towards the path of righteousness, in rectifying ourselves and rectifying the people of the whole world. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end,
and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.